Hey, is this Mark?
It is. John?
Yeah.
Good to hear from you. What's news?
Well, let me get right to the point. I think we should do a podcast.
Hello. You have reached the department of The Last Thing the World Needs is Another Podcast. How may we help you today?
Very funny, but I'm serious.
Thank you for that information. Yes, I can help you with that problem. Now, in a few words, why do you think the world needs another podcast?
We should do a data-focused podcast that is not a pile of techno-babble and repetition of old advice. Because dealing with data in the 21st century is like walking through an off-leash dog park with your new shoes. You've spent some good money on those shoes. Later on, something smells. Our audience is everyone, because everyone is involved with data. If you're a leader of an organization, this podcast is really for you. We are going to take apart this data industry and have some fun doing it. There are no sacred cows, and ugly babies will be called, well, ugly.
Ugly babies. Great podcast draw.
Most importantly, we must be practical. We want to get something done. We want leaders to make progress every time they listen to us. Yes, we are trained professionals, but we want you to try this at home.
And guests?
And guests, and a game we will play with our guests.
That sounds great. Count me in. How do we launch it?
We just did. This is John Ladley.
And Mark Cooper.
Welcome to the Rock Bottom Data Feed. Ready to do this?
Absolutely. But before we begin, we probably ought to introduce ourselves.
Good idea. I'm John Ladley, an author and a consultant with 30 years of experience dealing with clients across a whole lot of industries. I'm also a founder of an organization called the Data Leaders Organization, a collaborative think tank of industry experts working to promote good practices in data management. I've written a few books. One is called Data Governance, How to Design, Employ, and Sustain an Effective Data Governance Program. Big title. And Making Enterprise Information Management Work for Business.
And I'm Mark Cooper. I spent almost 30 years as a developer, enterprise architect, and technical director at FedEx. Shortly afterwards, I started the DataBrains, a consultancy built on the belief that a company's most valuable asset is its understanding of its data. I have a doctorate in computer science from UCLA, where my concentration was artificial intelligence.
That certainly is timely.
Sure is. And we'll be talking more about AI in upcoming episodes. It is, after all, the biggest thing in data since big data. Well, that takes care of the who. Let's get into the why.
Then that's where we'll start. We do a lot of stuff around data, but a lot of the stuff we do doesn't seem to be working. We have a lot of good ideas, a lot of discussion. We seem light on execution. It seems like sometimes we normalize failure. We have advertisements on the Super Bowl about IBM can do this, CDW can do that, Salesforce can do that. That's cool, but I'm sitting there thinking my customers still can't get the reports they want to do their jobs. So whatever it is, AI analytics, SAP upgrade, health quality programs, all this stuff are being approached in certain ways, and we seem to be falling short. We're going to talk and peel this apart in future episodes. But most of what we get done contradicts the expectations we have. The essence of all of this is the fact that we need to talk more about the people. It's about people. Artificial intelligence affects people. Analytics affects people. A big expensive upgrade affects people. There are points of light. We have a lot of good that's come out of data. Look around. There's a lot of good happening, and there's a lot of good on the way. But we have to admit that there's some skill gaps here, that none of us really are expert at this, because, you know what? Humanity hasn't had to be an expert at data. This is anthropological. Okay? We have to, as a species, learn data. Across the board, though, we're not doing that well. Across the board, we need to do better and learn some new things. At the end of the day, it's not rocket science. There are better ways to do this. There's stuff we're learning. And here's the cool part. We already know how to do most of this because we already do most of this already in other areas. I've been at this for 30 years. It always comes down to commitment, ownership, embracing reality, and people, not the technology. So hang on, enjoy the ride with us. Oh, and be nice to each other. I have the honor of introducing our inaugural guest on our very first show. That's redundant. But in that spirit, I'd like to introduce a good friend of mine and a person who's just at the call face in the trenches doing the thing. Stacy Clark, welcome to Rock Bottom.
Thank you. Great to be here, John.
You are here because you're not selling a book. You're not launching a new company. You're not trying to make a name for yourself or selling anything. You're trying to get stuff done. In that spirit, what works for you now? I mean, first give us a little background about yourself. How long have you been at the data thing and how'd you get into it? And what's happening with you right now?
Yeah, well, thanks, John. I guess if the data thing includes IT, which unfortunately many times it does, it's been 30 plus years with an IT-centric focus on those kinds of things, and about 12 years with a business data governance focus.
Well, characterize some of the work you've done. First of all, full disclosure, Stacy and I have worked together, okay? Mm-hmm. We launched a pretty successful little data governance program before an acquisition went and wrecked it all, right? And in this instance, we started a really effective program. How long did it take us? We were like 0 to 60 in 6 months, 9 months, something like that.
It was 6 months or under. Very fast.
But we were driving some benefit, some visible benefit. We were racking up some numbers even on, mm-hmm. on this thing. And another company came in and looked it over and did their due diligence and said, we don't need that. And bye-bye, everybody. And which is just the way corporate America is stupid, mm-hmm. Stupid, because they don't do the due diligence in the right areas. Oh, data, that's technical. Let CIO take care of that. So, first takeaway of this first interview, don't be dumb. Corporate America.
Yeah.
Data is part of your due diligence, right?
But I think to your point, what's worked is you've got to be very people-centric. And I think that's one of the reasons that it doesn't work well in IT, because I went to IT because I didn't like people and I wanted to do junk and stuff behind a screen. But I found out that doing junk and stuff behind a screen had to involve people. In fact, people controlled my success. I had a new great tool on the IT side, but if I didn't have a described TCO, an agreement from the business as to why they'd get a benefit from it, it was underutilized. And so expenses went up, business wasn't happy, tools were underutilized, they didn't see the productivity that they should have saw. And so I had to engage with people. And then when you start talking to people, you realize that the condition of our data is almost solely related to people and process. The stuff I was working on, the systems, the transport layer stuff, the infrastructure layer stuff, hardly ever impacted data. Well, back in the day, you know, I had a PDP-11 in my garage, right? I don't know if I ever told you that, but that's a
was
way
that
back.
Is that a sports car?
At one time it was, I think.
I remember we're praying that a CEO or a CXO listens to this. So we have to say a PDP-11 was one of the first, what we used to call a mini computer, right?
Yeah.
Yet by Digital Equipment Corporation, that was a DEC, right?
Yes, yeah. Sir, it was. As things progressed, that was no longer an issue, and people and process slowly took over as the chief cause of the condition of data. And I would say now, it's in the 90-something percent of the time, it's people and process. People and process, however, are largely ungoverned And so the result is you can't even have the same problems consistently because people don't follow the same process. So you've got ad hoc processes mean you're going to have ad hoc results. So step one, of course, was identifying what was going on and saying, if you're doing it wrong, at least everybody do it wrong consistently so we can get a handle on this thing and start using those evidences and that data to correct things. I think, incidentally, my first data governance program was not called that because no such thing existed, but I created it just to protect IT. I had progressed from a contractor to CIO, saw a lot of things, thought a lot of things would be helpful, and started implementing those. And the biggest thing was the transference of IT things to IT and business things back to the business. In fact, on my office, there was a Statue of Liberty, and at the bottom of it, it said, bring us your problem, not your solution. And so many times the business had solutioned something because they went to a conference probably that you were speaking at.
Yep. That, yeah. We, the CEO goes to CEO camp and comes back and says, we must be data driven. It's just another version that, which is, that's been a perennial issue. I don't think there's anything brand new. Well, now it's the CEO comes back and says, we have to do AI. Then you got the fear of missing out. So what I'm hearing, so one thing that's really, really worked, I want to focus in on is you took the technical stuff and put it in the technical realm, but you took the business stuff, put it in the business stuff. Because in your first unofficial data governance program, you just saw stuff that wasn't working. And there were things that you already knew that would fix those things, but those actions were business type actions. They weren't technology things. So part of me here, what I'm hearing here, if I'm a CEO, I'm thinking, wait a minute, you mean we know some of this stuff before we got into a mess? Let's expand on that for a second.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. And I think, and part of it is the abdication, or I should say the overacceptance or overindulgence of IT to take on things they shouldn't to provide value because someone else is paying the bills. And it's usually the business side that's paying the IT bills. So the search for relevancy makes them get engaged in high risk activities. And part of the high risk activities there are defining quality, are assigning value to data, things like that, and then dedicating to fixing it because you can only ever be wrong. When you take on that role, you can only ever be wrong. And the other thing it does is it costs the business more. So they're already, so here's the other thing is, cost transparency. That's the driver because the business says, well, we've been able to fold our arms and let IT just handle stuff and just make helpful comments like you're slow and you're stupid and you're expensive. And that hadn't progressed. In 24 years of that feedback, IT didn't rectify any of that because they couldn't. So here's the deal. If IT says, look here at business, this is what you're paying for. Look at it, itemize it. And by the way, your peers, Joe, John, and Jane, this is the stuff that they're having us do that I think defy an overall business strategy. Well, you don't even have to say that, but you provide that information and say, look, do a peer review on the business side. You help me prioritize this stuff. And all of a sudden stuff starts dropping off, but the cage match happens on the business side. And then all you have is the remains of whoever won that cage match to now give you your priorities and the torch that you can help them. Now you IT can be the true enabler and do IT stuff that they still do pretty well and let the business fight it out and decide what your priorities are and what the goals are for the year based on their business strategy. So now when you walk down the hallowed halls of IT and someone's waddling towards you, you say, hey, what are you working on and how does it relate it to the business? They can tell you. When I first started in IT and as a CIO, no one could tell me that. In fact, people would turn around and walk out of the hall because they knew I was going to ask that. But I'll tell you what, you could tell when they had it because they were running right towards you and they couldn't wait to tell you.
Cannot wait to share. I've done a few alignment things and some connecting things like that. And it's like that scene in The Jerk where the yellow pages show up. Right. And Steve Myers running around. Hey, the yellow pages.
I am somebody.
I am somebody. Exactly. That is, and if you've never seen that movie, you just have to watch it for that one scene and you'll know exactly what Stacy and I are talking about. You and I could talk for days and if we get past, our first season here, and don't get arrested or anything. We'll have you back next year for an update. Stacy, thank you very much. Before you go, we're going to ask, since you're guest number one, we are going to ask every guest two questions, and we want a nice, concise, quick answer. Now, that's the nice way I tell Stacy, don't prevaricate around the shrubbery. Okay. But we're going to ask everybody these two questions because I've noticed it kind of triggers people to think about things. And it's a good discussion point once you're done with this pod and you can talk to your team or something like that. So first question, ready? Who is a non-technology leader you admire? You don't need to name them. They don't have to be famous. It could be Joe Schmo from the mailroom. Okay. But what did you learn from this person that you can apply to this world of data and data management and things like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And am I allowed to say who it is?
Yes, you are, but okay. You don't have to. Like if it's somebody that's been looking for you for 20 years, you know, don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's two people, but they're embodied, I guess, in the same. And that's my father and the wisdom he carried forth from his father. So and that really has been instrumental in my whole IT technology. And it's got nothing or career. And it has really nothing to do with technology. And it's centered around a few key values and concepts that were kind of taught to me over time. And one is to evaluate or value other people and learn about their opinions, even though right off the bat, you size them up and you already know they're wrong. And you know they're wrong for a host of reasons. It goes along with the Vujia Day statement is pretend you've never heard this before and you really are interested in this. And it changes the dynamic. It changes the relationship. And that has been so helpful in the IT career, but really in the governance career, because it really is the focus on people. Tell me your problem. Even I already know you've got no process you follow. You're using spreadsheets for goodness sakes. And, you know, I already know that, but explain it to me and I'll act like this is all new information. And you know what? Sometimes it is. And that's the trigger. That's what makes that relationship together.
Excellent.
That you can go.
Excellent. All right. Second question. If you could get one thing implemented in an organization around this subject of data, mm-hmm. what would it be? Wave a magic wand. One thing gets implemented. It's up. It's running. It's good to go. What would that be?
Well, the most important thing, and it doesn't – this. That sounds sort of like a tool to me. And so if an executive sponsor is a tool, that's what I need implemented right away. That's been the biggest problem I've had with all of the governance programs that have taken longer and costed more and haven't been communicated across the enterprise in a correct context and format is because there was a lack of an executive sponsor. You might have middle level managers. In fact, you almost always do that are gung ho and they're all for you as soon as you help them, right? As soon as audit leaves their card behind and they call you on the phone and you're the white hat guy that's helping them out of this audit, man, they talk to you over lunch all the time.
Yeah.
But the C-level folks, the VPs and above is where you need that executive sponsor to be. And if I could have that, I could be successful with the 12 other things that I need to do right away.
Wonderful. All righty. Stacy, thank you so much. Pleasure here. You'll be back in a minute for something we call the audio Rorschach test. So we'll talk to you in a few minutes, but thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you, John. Privilege.
We're excited to introduce our sponsor for the Rock Bottom Data Feed, the advisors at Hubris Data Pros. If you're starting a new podcast about data and you have to learn it all as you go along, you need Hubris. We call this segment Dispatches from Rock Bottom, dredging up practical information, advice, and food for thought. Let's talk about data and analytics project success, or not success. Whether it's data science or master data management or data governance or data quality or a lakehouse or whatever, you see, despite the market speak and the employee town hall slideware claims of being data-focused and data-driven, it seems that many companies don't really take data and analytics seriously. We all know the numbers. Depending on the study you cite, anywhere from 60 to 87% of big data, analytics, and data science projects fail to deliver. You would think a record like that would motivate widespread soul searching, root cause analysis, and culture change, but when failure is considered normal, then there's no imperative to do anything about it. And you just keep doing what you've been doing and hope you get lucky the next time, and if not, no big deal. Odds are you are going to fail again anyhow. That's why we need to do this podcast, to look at data and analytics differently, to think differently, to ask different questions, and ultimately to drive different results. I believe very strongly that understanding your data is the key to success in all areas of data and analytics. More than that, it's a prerequisite to any kind of repeatable, sustainable progress. So, if your title begins with a C or a V, ask yourself, how well do you understand your company's data? What about the people in your organization? How well do they understand the data? When was the last time you asked one of your direct reports a question about your company's data and received an immediate, authoritative, complete, and correct answer? Between now and next time, the one thing you can do is to be visibly curious about data. The next report you receive, ask questions about the data. Where did it come from? How is it generated? What does it mean? Ask questions and expect answers, and if you don't get them, keep following up until you do. If you're willing to share, we'd love to hear your stories. Write us at rockbottom@counterthreadedproductions.com.
Okay, we are back. This is our audio Rorschach test. This is our game show segment of our program. We have Stacy back. Stacy, I'm going to ask you to pick one of three numbers, and that will cue up a little piece of royalty-free music here because we're cheap. And I want you to tell me what it immediately reminds you of, but in the context of the data world, the corporate, the business world. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So pick a number, number 7 or number 8 or number 9.
7.
Okay. I'm going over here to our beautiful selection of music. Stay tuned. I'm going to play you a few seconds and then I'll fade it out and you tell me what it reminds you of. Okay. Stand by. Okay. Okay. What immediately comes to mind, sir?
Well, it was, and you might remember this, it was a condition where the data showed we were paying $300,000 a minute in interest for data transfers that were happening. And when we got the data that showed what we could save by not doing that anymore, that it reminded me of that. The clouds opening, the music playing,
and the young lady running across the field to you, and trumpets and birds and rose petals,
all of those things. Yeah,
because sometimes there's flipping great wadges of cash we can find out there in the world of data, isn't there? Stacy, once again, thank you so much. It's been a total pleasure, and thank you for helping us kick this thing off, and wishing you well in all your future endeavors, okay? And we'll talk soon.
Thank you, John. Likewise. Privilege. Okay.
And thanks again to our sponsor, Hubris Data Pros, reminding you that any resemblance to actual events, persons, or businesses, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
Well, that's our first episode. You know, we talked a lot about data and a little about technology, but we hope it's clear that our focus really is people. And that's going to be our consistent theme throughout. So until next time, this has been John Ladley and Mark Cooper for the Rock Bottom Data Feed. Thanks for listening. And remember, when you're here, you've reached rock bottom. You can find more information about the topics covered in this episode, the fuss about data, at our website, counterthreadedproductions.com. The Rock Bottom Data Feed is a Counter-Threaded production, copyright 2024, all rights reserved.